we're still on Luke 11, verse 4. We're studying temptation and the different words for temptation. We started on the word parasimos, which means the trial to determine fidelity or integrity or virtue or constancy. And we didn't get very far. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And remember, this one doesn't have the expectation that people will do it. The next one we study has the expectation that it'll be done. This is just a trial, a test. Remember yesterday we had we studied Jesus in the garden, and he said, why'd you go to sleep? Why can't you watch and pray? And he said, I pray that you will not fall into this kind of temptation. The temptation was he fell asleep. Well, Jesus asked them to watch and pray. They fell asleep after drinking 4 large glasses of wine during the Passover. It was 2 or 3 or 4 maybe even in the morning. And they fell asleep. And Jesus called that temptation. And he prayed that they wouldn't do that again. Now think about that. That's pretty mean of him. The poor disciples are drunk.
Passed out,
asleep.
Pass out started? Seriously. Passover.
What?
Is that where the term pass out came from?
No. That's not the way it came from. And that was a terrible thing. That was almost heresy.
That was funny.
Oh. It was heresy. If you say it again and say and think it's good, it's really heresy.
All right, Father, forgive me.
All right, 1 Peter. Another one. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, or begotten us from above, or begotten us from the first estate, unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness or depressed or whatever, through manifold temptations. Again, there's no expectation in this word that you will pass the trial. Now, what's needed to pass the trial? You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. A test of your integrity, a test of your constancy. Virtue and fidelity. And there's no expectation that you will pass the test. How do you pass the test? The only way to pass the test is to give everything back to God. And that's what we talked about yesterday. That's why it's so incredibly important that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Therefore, if I am in a place of depression, heaviness, huge, whatever, the only way to pass the test is to give it all back to God. Admit to yourself and admit to others that you have failed. Now, this is a biggie. But do you ever, 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 if you justify no faith, then you're just like another Gentile.
Yeah, that's almost the disciple. Well, that's just the way I am.
Yeah, well, that won't work. That won't fly. It's not the way he is. What's going on, Gary?
I was thinking about when you're in the manifold temptations, I don't think it's another way of repentance. It's another word for what you do, because you, when you're in that place, you think it's all about you. And there's no, you separate from God while you're in your personal misery. When, in fact, God is right there in the middle.
Well, God's causing.
He's the source of it.
Well.
And if you don't see that or have some vehicle for understanding it.
Actually, I misspoke. Our own lusts have caused the problem. Let's look at that real quick. James 1. We'll go back to Peter in a minute. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Same word. Perasmos. Not asmos. Perasmos, not asmos. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted or tested, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's why integrity is so important. You must confess that it's your own weakness or your own no faith that's doing it. If you have, again, remember, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, the becoming of the little child is it's that point in which you have lost the capacity for self-awareness. You have seen the emptiness and futility of self-awareness. And if ever self-awareness exists, you repent. There's no test that you can have that failure isn't caused by self-awareness. Everybody understand that?
This ties in perfectly with faith being tried. You know, faith without the trial is no value.
Yeah, it's crap. That's why God wants holiness, not innocence. Innocence is that point without self-awareness. Holiness is that innocence tested. Holiness isn't it's an active thing. It's not I'm putting on a little collar and all that crap. Holiness is tested innocence. So we go back to, except you become as a little child. Now, our minds think this is impossible. How do you come back to the same thing? Nicodemus said, you must be born from above. How am I going to be born from above? This is not about your mind understanding everything in this Bible. It's about you repenting if you don't understand.
Yeah.
whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now the reason we're spending so much time on this is because this is what will define your walk as a believer. How you conduct your life. And this heresy that people have about once saved, always saved, that doesn't mesh with the mystery of God. There always and ever and always is repentance. The key, the only key. Are you shaking your head in agreement, or are you shaking your head while you're thinking?
Yeah, repentance is so broad. I'm thinking it through because it's not a cheap word. It's not a cheap process.
Remember, words just define something that poorly. So how do we define repentance? Emptiness? Abandonment? Mortify?
Denial of self.
Remember, the deny is the word apodiomai, which means absolute abandonment, divorce. You got a divorce from yourself and your mind.
And it's always returning to faith.
Amen.
Which is always in the moment without all the peripheral.
Amen. Remember, in faith, there's no past and there's no future.
Dimension
is eternity. True faith only exists outside of time. Well, if you don't understand or disagree, please say something.
It operates in time, though, does it not?
No. Well, it's in, but only because the physicality is in time. This thing is out of time. This thing is gone.
Now, the spirit is in time. I mean, you got your chart there. God's out.
Right. I mean, the Holy Spirit moves through time at his discretion.
Yeah.
God is in eternity. But we are now in eternity with him, seated on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim, the secret place of the Most High. We didn't go there. God came here. The temple came here. The Holy of Holies is here. And it's in each one of you. That's why you go to the secret place of the Most High. You enter into that pavilion of holiness. But this thing can't get there. Can't even understand what I'm saying. This thing has no capacity to understand eternity. How can you possibly think that there could exist, that there could be an existence without time? Let's just because we've been talking about it, go to Revelation 10. We're going to never get through temptation, testing. 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Again, remember, always and ever, the judgment must first begin at the house of God. This is the final judgment. time is gone. Time is gone from you. You no longer live in a time-dependent environment. You've redeemed the time for the days of evil. Now, how does that happen? My God, that's beyond, that's three, that sounds like gobbledygook. Because the mind can't comprehend it. How can you comprehend no time? And yet, when the seventh angel stands and says, the mystery of God is finished, time shall be no longer, that first has to happen in you. And by your obedience, you condemn the world. In the same way that Noah condemned the world by his obedience. Back to 1 Peter.
You know, Noah never knew what he was doing. He was told to build an ark and he did that.
Yeah, and he was there. There had never been rain. It's going to rain 40 days. What's rain?
Yeah, so he's really.
Well, that's the same thing.
Without knowing here.
So must we.
Yeah, and we don't know what we're doing.
You got that right. But we know him.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 4. My Bible is operating and against me. Because I went to 1 Peter chapter 4, and it was not to 1 Peter chapter 4. It was 2 Peter chapter 4. Shut up, Pete. Pete is making fun of me. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. What is strange?
So,
think it not strange. And yet, this is what's being preached, that suffering is strange. The prosperity gospel says there's no, if you're in obedience to faith, there's no trial, there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's no going to the doctor. These idiots say this, have the gall to say this, while their private doctor flies around them, with them in a plane. One of our informants told us that I'm going to say it anyway. One of the informants told us that Copeland has his own private doctor, Don Colburn, who he numerous times flies down to Florida to get the injections in his back because he just gets crippled. And then he's got a private, highly paid chiropractor that keeps him in line. And yet he gets on up there and tells everybody that if you're in obedience to faith, you will not be sick, you will not hurt. There's a special place reserved in hell for that kind of preaching. Because it trivializes suffering. And then if you don't get it, it's your fault. If you don't get healed, you didn't give enough money, or you have secret sin in your life, or you have demon oppression. So he's always up there as a little lying son of a bitch. Excuse my French. All right, back 1 Peter.
Yes, I've become real aware of the two dots lately. Where they did the same thing here. As though some strange thing happened unto you. So it's like it's one of those, if I'm not wrong here,
well,
so much is left
But don't get too enthralled with that. It's what is left out. It says you, no matter if you're suffering, you rejoice. The next verse. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's the reason for the colon. It finishes that second. The colon is interesting in other places, as you've pointed out, like in Genesis 3 and elsewhere.
Yeah.
Where it's the thing that he can't even say the thing.
Yeah. There's a little bit different. But this is like, this implies just a whole lot of stuff that human beings go through, and then you get to the but rejoice.
Amen. Rejoice in it. All right. 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Oh, we have to do this one. Start in verse 1. Well, let's start it farther. Let's start in verse 12 of chapter 1. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, these things are the partakers of the knowledge of the Lord and all that. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, and it's really the word Exodus, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, this is written maybe a month or two before he was crucified upside down in Rome. He knew it was about to happen. He had the same issue as Paul did later when he had the tribunal and Nero started the crap. And you know what these guys were found guilty of? Remember? They were guilty of, and they were guilty and found guilty and punished by death because they were found guilty of hating the human race. That's pretty heavy. Now, the reason all this happened in AD 64 is when the fire happened. And the fire, you know, the Nero fiddling while Rome burned, but that's just a silly thing. When the fire started, in this one section of Rome, which was like the poor section with all crappy houses and stuff. The Christians were so enthralled, they were convinced that it was the end of the world. And they went out into the streets and even set fire to their own houses and burned all their belongings, including all their money and everything. They were rejoicing because it was the end. And then that started these trials. Many, 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 many believers were found guilty and either put in the circus thing or all kinds of death penalties, some terrible. And then one of them was Peter, was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. And they were not just because they were Christians. They were Christians and they were found guilty. Remember, they were first called Christians in Antioch. That was a term of law against them. They never used the name Christian. Then that followed, when that started at Antioch, then this spread throughout the whole of the Roman Empire. And they were finding reasons to find people of the way guilty. And it snapped in 64 when they were burning all their... They were accused of setting the fires in Rome. They didn't justify themselves. They didn't even say anything. Some of them were thrown into the lions. I mean, they were, what do you call it? The circus where the lions
Coliseum.
Killed them. The Colosseum. It's called the circus, wasn't it?
Circus is where they held the races. I think the Colosseum is different.
Anyway. I mean, every time I think about this, it just sends me off.
What are you thinking about?
The opposite of what's, that's life, that's real. The idea, I don't really like the human race very much.
Is that a crime?
Well, it was in Rome.
Because they were accused of acting on it and causing destruction and damage and fire.
Right, they were accused of burning Rome.
Yeah. Well, that's a crime.
But that's not what they were found guilty of. They were found guilty of hating the human race. The one thing that I've done for all these years, the thing that's fascinated me more than anything else, is this period from the crucifixion of Christ to the crucifixion of Peter. All same thing, same area. What went on? What happened? How? What? That's the only model we have for a church. Care what somebody did in Constantine or all through history. The only model we have for the church is the first century. This is why I say so often, if it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. Well, we didn't get where we're going, so I'll quit. Anybody have any response to any of this? Anybody think I'm crazy?
I'm just thinking about this God hate for human race.
You didn't even see it.
Huh?
You didn't even see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been dealt with. It's not the issue.
Remember, he is our sin, our iniquity, has prevented him from seeing us. Isaiah 59.
Sin has prevented him from seeing us.
Let me read it to you. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. That's pretty heavy. And this is a little like this is like totally opposite of what's being preached. The question is, what do you believe? I don't care whether you believe this or not. That's not my business. But if you don't believe it, at least have the courage to talk to me about it. Mr. Boja? All right, take it big guy. Okay, again, I'm because I'm weird and stupid and old. First I press this one.